Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show, presented by DraftKings. Here's your host, Marcus Grant.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show, presented by DraftKings. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, still masking and socially distancing when and where necessary. And we have made it to week 15. In fact, we are more than 24 hours away, at least as I start recording this show, from the official start of week 15, which means another week of the playoffs for those of you lucky enough to advance. Maybe it's the first week for those of you in leagues that play just weeks 15 and 16. That's all you do. You don't play week 17. We've said this before. We will say it again. The playoffs end for everybody at week 16. I don't make the rules. That's just what it is. We will talk starts and sits with Adam Rank as we do every Wednesday. Also have a special guest, Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus will join us and we'll just talk a variety of fantasy related things. Maybe even get his thoughts on Cordero Patterson. And we'll see whether or not he actually is Johnny Depp in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So we'll do that and plenty more. But as we always do at this time, we'll talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. And Murph, I want to ask you about something I saw you retweeted. I know that your girlfriend covers food and stuff for Spectrum Television out here in Los Angeles. And I saw something about some ridiculous looking breakfast burrito. And I need to know where that came from and one in my life.
This one's a truck. I'll get the exact location for you. But they have been on a bunch of shows. Like they've been on something on Hulu and I believe like Food Network. They're super popular. I mean, I'm not going to say to stop doing this fantasy show right now and go drive there and get it because it does sell out. But that's how good it was. I mean, like we're used to a regular burrito. You fold it over like flour tortilla or something. They do a cheese crust. And I mean, look, there's a lot of good breakfast burritos here. Like Koufax is actually close to where I live. It's one of the best ones, but this is the king. This is one of the best food items I've had in Los Angeles, and it's like it's a day ruiner. You eat that whole thing, you just go take a nap, and the rest of your day's done. But it is so worth it. It's this big, heavy, like perfect mixture of like spice, and you have the cheese, and it's unbelievable.
I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and I saw that you retweeted that. And I was the, you know, the Michael Jordan Last Dance meme is like the, like staring at my phone, like, oh my goodness, yeah. That looked amazing. And yeah, I feel like that's a whole day's worth of food is what that looked like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next break, I will give you the exact details for this, but yeah, if you see me retweet something that she has done or a food item, that's the endorsement. That's when you know that you have to stop what you're doing and go, okay, if Eddie's retweeting it, not that I'm like, you know, the food critic master, but it usually means that I've eaten the item and I've loved the item and that it has my seal of approval. So that is one that is a Mount Rushmore food item in Los Angeles.
All right. So there you go. So anybody who's in L.A. or if you were planning to visit L.A., if you just scroll through Eddie's feed and anything, any food item you see there, put that on your list of places to go check out when you are in the city. All right. Appreciate that. Let's bring in our friend Adam Rank, who always joins us on a Wednesday. I don't know if Del Taco has a breakfast burrito. I enjoy their burritos, the red burrito, the green burrito. You would know because you are more of a Del Taco expert than I am if they have a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, Del Taco does a nice breakfast. You know, and one of the unfortunate things of my life is that I don't like eggs. And it's not a moral thing or I'm not choosing to not like it. It's just, I don't like it. Like we all have foods that we don't like. And that's always the most annoying thing. People are like, how do you not like, I don't know. Talk to my taste buds. They're the ones who are dictating everything. Not me. Like I know how much easier my life would be if I enjoyed eggs. Unfortunately I don't, but we do the Del Taco breakfast a lot because there's one right next to the Dunkin' Donuts. So you go through the Dunkin', you get your coffee, get some donuts for the kids. My wife will end up getting like the egg burritos and everything like that. I will get I will eat tacos because I don't care. I go YOLO. It doesn't matter. And we'll do that. So, you know, it's a nice, they do a nice job. I know. And I know a lot of people will always say this too, because we live in Southern California and we're spoiled with our Mexican food options, but it's like, you know what? A lot of those places aren't convenient. Like if you've got the kids in the back seat, there's a place out by Palm Springs where It's such great Mexican food, but you got to get out. You got to get out of the car. And it's like, if I have a choice between having to get out of the car and entertaining the kids while that's going on or driving through the Del Taco, at some point, I'm just going to have to drive through the Del Taco. If it's the wife and I, solo trip, yeah, Los Coyotes Tacos, we'll stop. If not, if the kids are there, then it's Del Taco all the way.
Del Taco is really underrated. You know, it does not get the respect of its other, you know, Mexican fast food competitor, but I think it is the superior option of the
Dominates.
Two.
Dominated. It's the AEW of QSR Mexican places, and the other one is the WWE, which has been a little bit too full of itself for too long, where AEW is doing the better job. Del Taco is doing the much better job.
See, we're coming together on so many issues this morning. It's so great. Let's come together and talk about some fantasy headlines, though, shall we, as we get ready for week 15. News out of Detroit, the Lions are, quote, not overly optimistic about Matt Stafford playing this week against the Tennessee Titans. So that means likely Detroit's going to pivot to Chase Daniel. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, spin you a story of, you know, why or how you should start Chase Daniel. But the bigger question is, Rank, would you trust any of his pass catchers if it is indeed Daniel getting the start?
Oh, absolutely. I like Chase Daniel. I think that he's one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Obviously, got an opportunity to see him really up close and personal when he was a member of the Chicago Bears. And I realized, too, that me talking about quarterbacks is a little unusual because my calibration for quarterbacks as a Bears fan is not the same. It's like how we're sitting here talking about Mexican food. Like, our expertise is a lot better than some dude sitting in Indiana right now talking about his favorite Mexicans. Like, why don't you see yourself out of this conversation? So I understand that happens sometimes talking about quarterbacks. But I really don't have any hesitation with if you were already starting Marvin Jones, if you were starting TJ Hawkinson, I don't downgrade them at all. I think that Chase Daniel has proven to be an adequate quarterback that can get the ball into the hands of his playmakers. So I'm good with it. I'm good with Chase Daniel, even though I like Matt Stafford a lot. You'll be fine with Chase Daniel at quarterback.
I also think it helps that the Titans secondary has been a mess this year. They've given up so many fantasy points to wide receivers, tight ends, even to quarterbacks. I think that gives you certainly a little bit more level of confidence if they were playing, say, the Steelers or somebody like that. So maybe you can be okay with Marvin Jones, even though he's been, I think, a little bit of a roller coaster this year. But of course, we would always feel better if it's Matthew Stafford, but maybe this is not as much of a drop-off as it would be in some other situations. Ronald Jones had surgery, at least had a pin inserted in his fractured pinky finger, which sounds incredibly painful, and I would probably take 2 weeks off this show if that happened to me. But if he cannot go this week, and that's still very much up in the air, would you pivot to any of the other Tampa backs, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, anybody there hold any interest for you?
Not as much. I think that Ronald Jones has kind of established himself as the best running back in this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And when they're playing really well, when they're doing things, they're moving the ball, it's because Ronald Jones is out there doing things. And I think that there's a significant drop off when they go to those other quarterbacks, to the point that I picked up Tom Brady because I was worried about the matchup with Russell Wilson. And I was doing this a couple of weeks ago when somebody tilted on Brady. I'm curious now. I'm a little concerned. Like, do I just necessarily roll Tom Brady in there? Because I've got a different scoring system, and I'll talk about it later. Because I've got a bone to pick with Ian when we talk about late-round quarterbacks and everything too. So this is a situation. So I'm definitely keeping an eye on it. And I also think it's cute that you think that if you had surgery – that the NFL would let you off for anything more than an afternoon. I should know.
That is fair. But I would certainly come to work and I would let everybody know that I had a pin
there
in my finger.
That's fair.
That would happen a lot. I know Leonard Fournette is still rostered in about 55% of NFL.com leagues, and he was a healthy scratch last week, which sort of tells you how the Bucs are feeling about him right now. But I guess if I had to pick one of those two, it's definitely Fournette over McCoy. But I do think I'd probably be looking around for some other options. Weirdly, the Falcons have been – I shouldn't say weirdly, but the Falcons have actually been semi-decent against running backs this year. Part of me thinks it's because – you know, it's so easy to throw on them that why would you bother trying to run the football when you can just, you know, launch it down the field. But that does make me worried. Fournette has had some drops. He's just been inconsistent. So I don't know that I'd love either of those guys. I know, depending on your platform, and I don't want to get into eligibility wars again, but I know in some places, I think Bowden a running back in some places. I think he's a wide receiver in others. I'm not exactly sure what his designation is, but I think he would be maybe a better flex option than anybody you can find in the Tampa backfield. So yeah, you can stay in Florida, just maybe not with Tampa, and find yourself a running back that you can plug in there over Leonard Fournette or LeSean McCoy. But of course,
what is
if Rojo yeah, goes, so, it's all moot.
It's so crazy. What is Bowden like? What is he really like? I mean, I know he had 9 targets. It is weird because I just assumed that he was a running back too. I don't know. We're getting to the point of where I have a league, a Paul's Boutique league, that was started the year that Adam Yauch passed away. And we have one running back, and then we have a bunch of flex spots, because I always felt the NFL was kind of trending that way. And it just makes things easier. Like, yeah, like everybody plays everywhere. And I know that Ian loves Cordarrelle Patterson. And again, hopefully we'll get him to talk about that in a moment. And a lot of these guys do a lot of different things. Like Antonio Gibson is sort of a wide receiver, but he's a running back. He's wearing 24. So yeah, I guess it counts. It's so interesting to me. It's like, maybe we should just have more flex spots and give guys more. Not Taysom Hill, though. That I hope
not, not you. Not you. That's Taysom Hill.
Not you, Taysom Hill. You're a quarterback. But you know, I think a lot of it too. It's like, it's just, I don't know. It's like everybody just plays everything. Like football's just evolved now.
I know Bowden on NFL.com, I think, is listed as a running back.
Yeah,
on
he
the
is.
Dolphins on the Dolphins roster, he's listed as a wide receiver. So
now how is that possible? Because that was our whole thing. Like that was our whole justification of not putting Taysom Hill in a tight end spot. Because like, well, the Saints listed him that. So if the Dolphins legitimately have him listed as a wide receiver and not a running back, and we're putting, oh my gosh.
Our justification is that no one's complained to us about it yet. And I might have just blown the lid off this whole thing. So
I'm going to go mute the word Bowden from my Twitter feed.
If you see the change in the next couple of days, it's because, you know, we let the cat out of the bag here on this show. Last bit of news, Gardner Minshew is back as the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, taking over for Mike Glennon, who took over for Jake Luton, who took over for Gardner Minshew. It's the circle of life down there in Duval County. Does this change the way you feel about any of the wide receivers in the Jaguars offense?
I just feel it's wild that you had a healthy Gardner Minshew and you were still thinking like, nah, we should go with Mike Glennon. Like what? What is happening? Like, do you think, like, I don't think that anything that's happening this year is Gardner Minshew's fault. And I truly believe that, you know, they're probably going to finish with the second overall pick at worst. They'll end up going with the quarterback. Gardner will be an available free agent. That's going to be the Bears quarterback, isn't it? Anyways, I do think for this week, though, the one player that I kind of have a little bit more optimism for would be DJ Chark. And it seems like Gardner really preferred going to DJ Chark. And we haven't been able to trust him over the last couple of weeks. And really, I don't have complete trust in going back to DJ Chark, but he is the one guy that I would look at and be like, well, I feel a little bit better about this one if I'm in a situation where I have to start a wide receiver like DJ Chark, which hopefully you don't have to.
Yeah, Chark seems to be the guy that Minshew trusts more than anyone else. I've looked at this Jaguars wide receiver core, and I sort of staked my claim with Laviska Shenault because I liked him coming into the season, but it hasn't always worked out because there just hasn't been any real consistency. One week it's Chark, then it's Keelan Cole, then Shenault gets some. It just sort of spreads around. So I do think Minshew at least gives us a little more consistency when it comes to who he's going to target. So I guess we're back on the DJ Chark train. And you're right.
Oh, there it is.
Nothing that happened this season has been Minshew's fault. So for what that's worth.
I agree. So, I got nothing to add to that.
Read the DraftKings thing. Okay, here we go. Here's the DraftKings thing. Today's show sponsored by DraftKings, a leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. So download the DraftKings app now. Use code TEAM during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Normally at this part of the show, I put together some sort of topic and Rank and I jibber jabber about it and you all are forced to listen. But today we're going to do something different. We're going to bring on a guest and he's going to be forced to listen to our jibber jabber, but hopefully he'll be okay with it and we'll play along as well. We're glad to be joined by Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. He is the host of the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. And we have confirmed that he is not, unlike his Twitter account suggests, Johnny Depp cosplaying in the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Ian, appreciate you coming on the show. How are you, man?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy week 15. But yeah, so far I've managed to evade the actual Twitter avatar of me, and I don't have the PFF underscore Ian. So we'll see what happens in 6 months or so. But for right now, I can continue being a little more mysterious than the average fantasy guy out there, I guess.
I feel like you dodging the PFF thing is probably more of an accomplishment than the Twitter avatar thing.
That's a very fair point.
Again, maybe a little disappointed it's not Johnny Depp cosplay, but whatever. I think that you do, and for any of my wrestling fans out there, you know, he looks like Kyle O'Reilly's brother, right? Am I getting this wrong? Let me know. And I will. Speaking of Twitter, though, I do have to say, I love a lot of the stuff that you put out there. Do I come off too aggressive sometimes? Because I feel like I like too many of your posts. And I don't know if that's off-putting, where you're like, okay, Rank, I get it. I'm funny. I get it. And you need me to settle down. If you do, you can let me know right now, and I will dial it back a little bit.
No, it's always appreciated, man. It's funny, though. Whenever I see you rolling through, maybe commenting on something, I always got to look back at the original take and be like, oh, boy, this one might get a little more attention than usual. Hopefully I wasn't blabbing about, you know, D-Lock too much or something like that. Because, man, it's crazy how much a year or two makes. I feel like I used to be able to kind of send out whatever and the good tweets get picked up and the bad ones just kind of get ignored. Now it's like you got to be a little more careful what you're throwing out there into the world. Like I'm saying, I compared Drew Lock to AFC Wes Jameis and you freaking would have thought I killed someone the way I was getting ratioed out there. But yeah, it's a fun time out there. I'm happy that, you know, mostly just keeping it to football, having a good time with it. So it's a pretty silly game that we like to devote our lives around. And, you know, we don't need to take ourselves too seriously all the time.
No doubt.
You're doing a great job.
Absolutely. And I say, on top of hosting the podcast, you write a couple of things. You do quarterback rankings. You do the Mismatch Manifesto, which is about as deep, I think, a piece as I tend to read on a regular basis there. I think it's excellent. But I wanted to ask you about quarterbacks, for instance. Like, you've got Lamar Jackson, I think, is number five this week, who has a great matchup against the Jags, just coming off that big game against the Browns. On the whole, I know folks are sort of disappointed. I mean, that's what happens when you're drafted as the QB2 and you're taken in the third or fourth round. But are we looking at this? Is Lamar kind of a victim of his own 2019 success when we talk about what he's doing in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, it was just going to be impossible for him to do anything better because he literally set the record for most fantasy points per game by a quarterback in a single season ever in 2019. So even if, like, for him to top that mark, he would have had to be, you know, to put forth the two best seasons ever, which is kind of what Christian McCaffrey is about to do. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But with Lamar, man, he's still the QB8 on the season in fantasy points per game. He's hardly been a true disappointment. We saw the upside against the Browns. And I think the big note coming into this year was like, okay, his astronomical passing touchdown rate is going to regress, which, yes, it has, you know, in flying colors. But to me, one of the biggest decreases that has really impacted him arguably more was his rushing usage. He's gone from 80.4 rushing yards per game in 2019 to just 66 this year. So we saw it on full display against the Browns, man. The guy is as fast and dynamic as ever. He's just taking his foot off the gas a little bit with the rushing attempts. And as we saw over the past couple of weeks with Kyler Murray, man, it doesn't take much to take away, you know, some of these dual threat quarterbacks, just their world beating fantasy potential. Because Lamar, again, still been good. Kyler's still been good. But when all of a sudden they aren't giving us like top five RB rushing level production on top of the passing, things aren't quite as smooth.
So because of that, do you think this is going to stop people from reaching for quarterbacks in 2020? Or are we just going to find a new person to maybe overdraft next year?
I think round two or three in general, we should be staying away from quarterbacks. But I think we're going to have a long conversation about if late round QB is still the preferred method, particularly in two QB or super flex formats, because the game's changing. We're seeing all sorts of points being put up really more than ever. I mean, you look at the top, you know, only eight quarterbacks in NFL history have averaged at least 25 fantasy points per game. Five of those have come in the last three seasons. The only outliers were 2010, Michael Vick, 2011, Aaron Rodgers, and 2013, Peyton Manning. So as quarterbacks, quarterbacks continue to run the ball more. They're staying healthy because back in the day, you couldn't be a rushing quarterback. You'd have your head taken off by the third quarter, most of those games out there. So, you know, Lamar, Dak, Kyler, Mahomes, these guys, I think if you're in a two QB league in particular, if you get to round five or six and you don't already have your QB one, you might be fighting an uphill battle because I think we're starting to see that top tier of quarterbacks separate themselves more from the middle of the pack, where in past years, you know, we could wait till round 10 or later and, you know, grab one of these just higher upside rookies. But I think we're seeing the, you know, new rookie quarterbacks that have pretty much more dual threat talent than we're used to. They're playing better earlier on, and we're seeing them just really provide more higher end fantasy production than we're used to seeing. So, you know, in short, no, I don't think we're going to continue to go back to the well at, you know, second or third round price tag, but a little bit less. You know, I think we should be willing to take a shot on just these super high upside dual threat talents.
Go ahead, Rank.
No, I just wanted to interject because this is one of the things that always kind of, I don't know if it sets me off or anything like that, but I like, it's easy for us. Like, we're sitting here, we play in these leagues that are, you know, the passing touchdowns worth 4 points or anything like that. And the quarterback points are suppressed. And but I play also in a lot of home leagues where if you don't have a good quarterback, you are dead. You are never going to be good. And I think of there's a league that I play with my friends in Chicago. We call it the Second City League. Actually, they call it the Tiny Football League, but I think that's a stupid name. So I'm trying to make Second City happen. And so it is one of those things that if you don't, you can't do the thing where you waltz into the late rounds and you're like, well, I'm going to pick up Nick Mullins, which is an extreme example. But you have to have, like, I was crushing it because I had Russell Wilson early and was going, you know, and when he was putting up, and for our scoring was 50 point, like, he was putting up 50 point games. And I think what's important for us, I think just as an analyst and everything, is letting people know that you have to study your scoring system. Because what we might be saying, you know, like, you can wait on a quarterback. But if you're in one of those leagues where passing touchdowns are worth 6 points, where 50-yard passing touchdowns are worth 8 or anything like that, that it's, I know that those are outliers, but I still think it kind of lends itself to, like, we should still be paying attention to the quarterback position.
We are playing fantasy football, and fantasy football, unfortunately, doesn't always line up with real football. Like, I think the fact that players get a full point per reception for getting one of those 6-inch pop passes, you know, the Deebo Samuel, Jimmy G connection, like, it's absurd sometimes. You tell me that's harder or that's equal to rushing the ball 10 yards down the field? Absolutely not. So I think you're 100% right, Adam. I mean, if you're particularly in one of these leagues, you know, 5 or 6 points per passing touchdown, you got to adjust the ranks, as we always like to say. And I think, you know, getting one of these, you know, Russell Wilson, Kyler Mahomes types really could help set apart, and particularly if you think you're one of the sharper guys in your league and you're going to be all over the waiver wires, like, yeah, set yourself up, go try to get the outliers at quarterback and tight end in particular.
Because of your my friend take, Steve, you are welcome on this show anytime.
Yeah. You're speaking to the right crowd. It's like he knew what he knew who he was talking to, and he was like, I know how to get him on my side immediately. But it is true, because my friend Steve is not great at fantasy, but Mahomes has been carrying. Like, you look at his team, I'm like, how are you in the semifinals? I'm like, oh, you have Mahomes. Like, of course. But, like, that's, I mean, that's a cool part of it.
Because of that, and you talked about, you know, these quarterbacks who can run and how they aren't really separating themselves from kind of the rest of the pack. We saw Jalen Hurts step in, make his debut as a starter and rush for over 100 yards. Look, there's still a lot to be discerned about what he can do or what he can be. But as you look at him, and presuming he is the starter for the rest of the year, what do you see as his ceiling this season?
Man, as a fantasy QB, it's going to be a legit top five option, because now he's gotten past the Saints. And, you know, we knew he was going to be running the ball. We saw that at both Alabama and Oklahoma. But 18 rush attempts, that was the highest single season marked by a quarterback, period. And obviously had the second highest, most rushing yards in the game as well. And now we get the Cardinals and, oh my goodness, the Cowboys in week 16, single worst defense in the league in yards before contact allowed per rush. He has a ways to go as a passer. I mean, real life, we cannot crown him just yet. You know, his 41.5 PFF passing grade last week, third worst single game marked by a rookie this season behind only Ben DiNucci and Jake Luton. But, you know, that's just one part of his game. We heard Miles Sanders talking about before the game last week, just having that new threat can help open up rushing lanes with the read option. And we just saw, you know, Hurts on several occasions, like we're seeing these highlights, just take off on scrambles and pick up first downs on his own. But I just wonder, was this, you know, the high point of the year, or will it be a sign of things to come? Because, you know, one quote I like from back in the day, Mark Twain, best swordsman in the world doesn't need to fear second best swordsman. They fear the unorthodox swordsman. That's what the Eagles were in week 14. We'll see what defenses look like, you know, against this offense now that they have a week of tape. Either way, though, if we're talking about 15 plus rushing attempts per week for a quarterback, that's a fantasy football cheat code. We've already seen Taysom Hill demonstrating that a quarterback doesn't really need to be that good of a passer to be a great fantasy football option.
Yeah, yeah, unless he was like going up.
I just like to take that Twain quote. I update it to like the best gamer in the world doesn't have to face the fear of the second best gamer. You have to fear the button masher. That's who you fear right now.
That's a what it was like for me back in the day playing Madden in the dorm room. There was a guy who was not good, but he would beat me all the time because he was the most unorthodox player. And I'm like, I could figure out everybody else on the floor, you know, like I had everybody handled. And then Mark Risco walks up and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know what formations you're running or anything like that. So it's crazy. And I do think the most important thing about we saw about Jalen Hurts this week was how great it was for Miles Sanders. It's like, yes, this is exactly what we want. And they threw so many passes, you know, those 10-yard in passes that we don't like, that we don't think should be a full point. But Dallas Goedert is going to go back and start eating too. Even though he wasn't great last week, I think that this is going to be a week where he steps forward. Even though the whole notion of like start your tight ends against the Cardinals have been, you know, kind of taken care of this year, I think this is a good week for Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, as long as he can stay separated from Zach Ertz. The problem is, man, it's so crowded in Philly all of a sudden. I mean, Travis Fulgham was their best wide receiver all year, and now he's losing reps to Jeffrey, looking at Hightower out there. I even saw Quez Watkins getting a design touch last week. Like, there's just so many guys involved in this low-ceiling passing game. I'm with you. Goddard, man, I'm almost wondered for the past 2 years, like, would he actually be producing more than Zach Ertz if he had that same just ridiculous opportunity? Oh, yeah. I think particularly in 2020, we saw that probably would be the case, but I'm just a little too worried about this passing game and the overall volume attached to it right now. Hurts, Sanders, and otherwise, let's move on from this offense. I just think that, you know, if you don't have to play a guy from the NFC East, you're probably not too wrong on that idea.
A low volume passing offense with a lot of targets is maybe the worst thing that we could ever possibly ask for. I want to ask you about James Robinson, who's been fantastic, obviously, all season long. The undrafted free agent went undrafted in plenty of fantasy leagues all over the world, but has been great this year. Because he's undrafted, he is a rookie, and he has done great things. I thought of this, you know, a couple days ago. Is he going to be more on the Arian Foster side of things over the course of his career, or is he going to be more of the Peyton Hillis? And I know Peyton Hillis wasn't undrafted. He's a seventh-round pick, but a guy who sort of comes out of nowhere, has a great season, and then we'd never hear from him again. Which end of the spectrum do you think he's closer to?
I hope it's somewhere more in the middle, but I do think it's more of a one-year wonder type situation. Look, he just hasn't had to deal with really any adversity in this backfield ever since he got handed the job and they got rid of Fournette. I mean, recall Armstead's been on the COVID list all year. Azigbo was on IR with a hamstring injury until about halfway through the year. And because of that, I mean, only Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook have more touches than James RB1 some the entire season. So it's a situation where I just don't see him getting the same level of volume in the future when they inevitably add running backs and when they likely take on a new coaching regime. And it's just tough because, I mean, Arian Foster, for him to just be in that picture-perfect Kubiak offense for pretty much, you know, his entire five-year prime he had going on with the Texans, I just don't think Robinson's in nearly as fantasy-friendly of a situation moving forward, and we just don't have the same kind of guarantees about his future. I do think we'll probably look back and see 2020 as his best season. I don't want to take away what he's done, though, because he's been more than just a volume-induced RB1. He's been legitimately good. He's tied for ninth with Kareem Hunt for most yards after contact per rush. He's seventh best in yards after the catch per reception behind, you know, Alvin Kamara, one spot ahead of him. Like, he's been great with the opportunity, but as we see in today's NFL, it's very difficult to get handed that three-down workhorse role. Even someone like Zeke, that their team gives him $90 million. I mean, we've seen Tony Pollard start to eat in that role. It's just very rare in today's NFL, and credit to Robinson for getting it in 2020. I'm just a little bit pessimistic that we see it in 2021 and beyond.
What if the Jags hire Gary Kubiak to be their coach?
Ooh, now we're talking.
Solved. I'll get on the horn with Tony, and I'll be like, dude, let's hire Kubiak. The Jets will probably end up jetting things up and win two games so that they can get Trevor Lawrence. Like, I'm fantasy booking now another great season for James Robinson, just for that reason alone. But I think a lot of it does come down to who ends up being the head coach of that team and if they will give him the same workload moving forward.
Do you guys think he'll be the number one rookie, like this year, rookie RB in 2021? We got Antonio Gibson, Dobbins, Taylor. But if nothing changes, we probably have to go with Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think it's Robinson right now in terms. So, but let's widen it out. Let's broaden it out. Is he the number one fantasy rookie overall? Does Justin Jefferson take that title? Where do you sit on that one?
In real life, it has to be Jefferson. In fantasy, though, it's probably James Robinson. I mean, number five in just total PPR points at the running back position, sixth in PPR points per game. I mean, he has been that high upside RB1 all season long. And as great as Justin Jefferson has been, we've seen the games where Kirk Cousins and those guys only have to throw the ball 20, 25 times. And obviously, Adam Thielen's out there doing his thing, too. Just not quite enough volume to go around. And that's why Stephon Diggs really wanted out of Minnesota in the first place. So can't really blame him. But at the same time, what Jefferson's been doing has been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, last time I checked, only Davante Adams was averaging more yards per route run. It's like Jefferson has been not only just a spectacular rookie, he's been a spectacular whatever experience he is as a wide receiver this year. And, you know, credit to Kubiak, not just enabling Dalvin Cook in that run game, but Kirk Cousins is putting up the best season of his career in pretty much any efficiency metric as well.
As long as he's at home.
that's fair. So looking ahead to next year, Christian McCaffrey, it's pretty much a lost season for him. We'll see if he plays in week 15, although that looks pretty doubtful right now. All things considered, though, are we ready to reinstall him as the number one overall pick? And if so, who's your number two?
I think so, because if you look at it in just pure PPR points per game, he's actually averaged more in 2020 than he has in 2019. Now, that's largely been because he scored six touchdowns in those three games he's had this year. The only really concern we should have about McCaffrey is that he averaged 8.9 targets per game in 2019, just 6.3 this year. Again, it's only a three-game sample size, but I'm willing to just look past that because the snaps were all on our side. 97% snaps in week one. We just do not see running backs around the league hardly getting over even 80 in the season. McCaffrey truly have that near every down role. I mean, look, even if the targets aren't quite as just record-breaking as we saw in 2019, he's still going to be threatening for a league lead in touches. So I think the only other five guys that can offer similar upside are Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott if Dak comes back and help get him those touchdowns. But honestly, Saquon come back from the injury. Kamara, he doesn't have that same kind of every snap role with Latavius there and whoever else they want to do. Dalvin and Henry don't have the same receiving upside, and we all know it's been rough for Ezekiel Elliott this year. So, you know, I think it's slightly more of a conversation than it's been in past years. You know, last year in particular, I mean, it was pretty clearly, you know, McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley, but I do still have CMC as number one. And I think that, you know, as we go along in the summer, we'll be talking about whether or not he'll get all those targets, but ultimately he's out there on the field every single snap. They have, what, 64 million reasons to feed him as many touches as he can handle. I think he will be the 1.01 in 2021.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Although, you know, if everybody would switch to half-point PPR, as we've been advocating here for our time together, then you start talking about Derrick Henry being the top guy. And this is one of the things, and Ian, you'll probably appreciate this, is that I play in a league with some really good friends of mine. And the guy who was in front of me took Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because I was already tilting, thinking that Derrick Henry was going to be gone. So I will laugh at that person forever. It'll be 20 years from now. We'll be on a golf course somewhere. I'll be like, hey, remember when you took Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Derrick Henry? But even in PPR leagues, like, could you make the case for Derrick Henry being 1.01?
He might have the highest floor of any of these running backs. I mean, the guy just doesn't seemingly get injured. I'm knocking on wood right now. I'm not trying to bring up some bad voodoo with that or anything. But even last year, like, the guy had a hamstring injury. He just, like, played through it. Like, how's that possible? We see these, you know, sideline Eckler and other guys for 10 weeks at a time seemingly. But it's particularly in half-point PPR, man. And, yes, I'm with you there. Get rid of PPR. You know, ban kickers. We don't need to mess around with these just ridiculous rule sets in some of these fantasy leagues that we've grown used to. But, no, I think there's definitely a case for. And again, that's why I was saying, I think it's definitely more of a conversation than it's been in past years. But ultimately, Henry and Dalvin, they just don't have that same pass catching upside. And when we are in these leagues where you're getting the full point per reception, even if it doesn't properly reflect who the best real life running backs are, we got to play. We got to play the game. We got to deal with the cards as they're dealt. So it is what it is. But yeah, man, he'll be top five at a minimum.
All right, Ian, we appreciate the time. Before I let you go, who is the Bears' most versatile player and why is it Cordarrelle Patterson?
My God, best kick returner of all time, not punt returner. Chill out, Bears fans. That is still Devin Hester. But kick returner is Cordarrelle. Until this year, is the number one ball carrier in NFL history in yards per carry. Unfortunately, Matt Nagy's prehistoric offense has driven that down a little bit this year. Oh, and he can play wide receiver too. Just because back in 2013, people misidentified him as a wide receiver doesn't mean we should be hating on this guy. The fact he is such an efficient running back and he can moonlight a wide receiver sounds good to me. So I know the Bears have some work to do, but only one team has ever given Cordarrelle Patterson at least 70 touches in a season. 2018 Patriots won the Super Bowl. So you might say small sample size, but I say, you know, give the man more touches.
I agree with all that. And I like that he's in the backfield wearing number 84. Like, that just seems cool to me. I like kind of – I wish like running backs could wear like single digits or whatever, but I think having a running back wear number 84 just makes him seem like a tougher player. So I always appreciate that.
Here's my thing, because I'm with you. I love Cordero doing that, but I hate Ty Montgomery still wearing 88. Bro, you've been playing running back for half a decade. Yeah. What are we doing here? And oh my gosh, the whole Dez Bryant saga. If Dez would have been signed by, and he was signed by the Saints until he ruptured his Achilles, that could have ended the Ty Montgomery 88 number, man. One of the biggest lost chances in the league over the past 2 years.
100%.
We could do a whole other segment on running back numbers and just positional numbers, but that we'll have
Let's
to save
do
that
it.
For another time. We'll have to save it for another time. Ian Harditz from Pro Football Focus, host of the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. You can read him there as well with his QB rankings, his matchup manifesto. Ian, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the rest of the season. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Absolutely, dudes. Thanks for having me on, and best of luck to you and the listeners in week 15, week 16. Go get those championships.
It's time for Secure Starts, presented by Visa for Peace of Mind Online. Visa's got you covered. Again, thanks to Ian Harditz for stepping in and chatting with us a little bit today. But week 15, this is the semifinals for a lot of fantasy leagues. So these starts are certainly very important, which means that Adam Rank, I'm sure, took even more time than he normally does. He painstakingly crafts his start sit list every single week. And I'm sure he put in extra time skipping The Mandalorian to help all you. Get your lineups ready for this week. So your starting quarterbacks for this week, who is on the list?
I will say this, that I've seen one episode of The Mandalorian, and it's because I skipped ahead because one of my favorite characters in Star Wars lore returned, and I just wanted to see her. Oops, spoiler, a female star. It could be Rey, you don't know.
That episode, so it's fine. It's fine. We've seen
the episode. I will tell you, let's talk about Tom Brady for a moment, because I was mentioning this when Ian was on the show about this league I'm in, the tiny football league, the second city league, whatever you want to call it. I picked up Tom Brady because I do not like Russell Wilson's matchup against the Washington FT this week. I saw this playing out 4 weeks ago. And so when somebody tilted and dropped Tom Brady, I picked him up. He's had at least two touchdown passes in four consecutive games, two touchdown passes at least in seven of his last eight. The Falcons have allowed a top eight fantasy quarterback in three of their last five, because that's significant. Because the Falcons have allowed the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this season. But you really want to look at recent. What has happened recently? Top eight fantasy quarterback, three of the last five. I'm really starting to lean towards Tom Brady. And I know we have a bunch of B-roll. I want to circle back to this because I have more thoughts on this. But I know we have to go show this Phillip Rivers video because this is what we got to do. No, wait, what are we doing? Are we doing Phil Rivers here or Kirk Cousins? We are doing it. All right. I know on the fantasy live show. On the fantasy live show, I'm doing Kirk Cousins. So, because I gave them three. So I'm like, wait a minute. I'm looking at my notes. So I didn't want to get confused. What show am I on? What day is this? I really do like Phillip Rivers. At least two touchdowns in his last four games, even though he's getting pulled at the goal line, which is annoying. They're running the Wildcat and everything like that. But he was going to hand the ball off anyways. So what do I care? This is a great matchup against the Houston Texans, who've given up a lot of production to quarterbacks. You saw what happened last week with Mitch Trubisky, my guy, Mitch. So I like Phillip Rivers this week. I think that he's going to give you a nice, comfortable floor, somewhere to be between 18, 20 points. Again, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I think the only reason you're playing quarterbacks like this is if you've been struggling, like if you had Drew Brees and you've had to stream some quarterbacks. Going back to that Russell Wilson example, I would probably play Russell over Phillip Rivers because I think either one of these quarterbacks is kind of a risk. But it is one of those things, man, where I look at this game with Russell Wilson and I'm like, I'm not going to list him as a sit. I don't want people to see that on the scroll. People are too literal. They take the stardom sit him way too literal. And also, if you're watching the videos the player updates that we put on the app, on the all new NFL Fantasy app. Like, people are like, well, you said on that video to pick up the start Ezekiel Elliott. I'm like, I also told you to start Jonathan Taylor in the same videos. Like, they're not back to back. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm really worried about this Russell Wilson thing. I think Tom Brady can have a really good game. I know a lot of people love to do this, start your studs and all that stuff. It's like, well, you'll lose with your stud, I feel. Tom Brady will be. I've talked myself into it. Oh, here's what I wanted to say about Tom Brady. Last week, Justin Herbert attempted 44 passes. They just weren't going down the field. That was a big thing, and that's why they were able to kind of clog the middle. And Justin Herbert, I think he had 7 passes over 10 yards out of 44. Like, Kirk Cousins had 7 passes over 10 yards. He attempted 23. So Tom Brady's going to take his shots downfield, where I feel the Falcons are vulnerable. So I'm feeling more and more comfortable about Tom Brady. I hit the optimize button too. So I'm going to let the optimize of Fantasy Plus take the brunt if I do not win this league. I shouldn't win this league. I shouldn't win this league because my first pick was Christian McCaffrey, and my running backs are McCaffrey, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs. At least Josh Jacobs will play. I had Miles Gaskin. Like, I'm lucky to be this far. So I'm going to go with Tom Brady. That was a long-winded answer. Sorry, Visa, that I'm taking up all your time with this. But
it also transitions us perfectly to running backs, so you can just kind of keep on rolling with your starting running backs for the week.
Well, I really love Jonathan Taylor. And this, you know, this comes from my stubbornness of, you know, planting my flag on the hill of rookie running backs. And Jonathan Taylor's really been paying off. And this is the one thing that we've been waiting for. We really liked him, obviously, coming into this season because of his ability to do things like that. But we're seeing him more and more get involved in the passing game, which is exactly what we wanted out of him. So to me, unless Frank Reich is just, you know, setting us up, because he's acknowledged fantasy enthusiasts previously, and maybe he's just trying to do right by us. But I think he also wants to win football games. And I think that now is not the time of the season where you want to preserve your players. You want to go full tilt and get the ball into the hands of your best players. So we love Jonathan Taylor. And another rookie running back that we're really excited about is Cam Akers. He was on the injury report last week, and then he still carried the ball. He touched the ball 31 times against the Patriots here. I was in my hospital bed, and I tweeted out, Cam Akers tonight, and he went out there and had that awesome game. And so I look, to me, what the most significant part of all this is the opportunities that he's getting anytime they're near the goal line. He's had at least 13 touches inside the 10-yard line since week 11. That's the most on the team. This was really one of the things we were wondering about coming into this season. Todd Gurley was so good over the last number of years is because every time the Rams got near the goal line, they ran the football. Sean McVay did not change that philosophy. He has changed the running backs. He went to Malcolm Brown earlier in the year, but now it's all Cam Akers. So I have the utmost trust in him. Unless Sean McVay is on the verge of pulling the biggest heel turn in fantasy football history, setting us up like Seth Rollins when he turned on the shield, like MJF when he turned on Cody Rhodes, I still have confidence in Cam Akers.
I'm starting to believe too, which means that some you know trick of the light is coming. The rug's going to get pulled out from under us somewhere, but hopefully not. Hopefully not before the season's over. So you went a couple of rookie running backs. You kind of keep the rookie theme going with your wide receivers, it looks like.
I'm just looking now, and I'm like, oh, I have all rookies. This is my thing. Everybody knows this. Rank falls in love with rookies. It's what I do. It's the way that I construct a lot of my teams. And one of the players I really like was Brandon Ayuk coming out of Arizona State. I'm a Sun Devil guy, throw up the horns. He has been fantastic. He has averaged over 21 fantasy points since week 8. That's third amongst wide receivers. He's had at least 17 fantasy points in 5 consecutive games, 1 receiving touchdown in 3 out of his last 4 contests. Debo is not expected to play not only this week, but for the rest of the season. And he's going up against the Dallas Cowboys, who've allowed the most receiving touchdowns to wide receivers this season, 22. This guy, I know a lot of people are throwing out hot takes, like, oh, he's a top 10. Dude, this could end up being the wide receiver 1 on the week. Make sure that he is in your lineup. And another rookie that we all love, Justin Jefferson. We loved him coming into the draft. Everybody loved Justin Jefferson coming into the draft. Well, not the Eagles, not you. But everybody else loved Justin Jefferson. He has averaged just right around 17 fantasy points per game this season. That's 12th amongst wide receivers, 17 fantasy points at least. in four out of his last five. Obviously, on the road at Tampa Bay last week, Kirk Cousins, not a good road quarterback. We know that. We kind of should have expected it, but you still start him anyways because of the upside. Now he's got the Bears. Last time they faced off, he had about 135. He had a touch. He was close to 22 fantasy points. He was covered primarily by Jalen Johnson, the rookie out of Utah. He's battling a shoulder injury. So if you get an opportunity to get Justin Jefferson back into your lineup, as a Bears fan, trying to be as objective as possible, you're going to want to start Justin Jefferson.
He has been objectively good this year, so I don't think anybody can accuse you of bias for throwing him in the lineup. Tight ends, if you could come up with two rookie tight ends to start, I will be impressed. I don't envision that happening.
I'll get one in, but I'm going to go to the veteran first, and that's Rob Gronkowski. Just once again, hoping that Tom Brady is going to come through for me, and I know that is that's a chore to trust Tom Brady, but I really do think that I really do believe that what we've seen out of Rob Gronkowski gives me a lot of faith moving forward. He's been a touchdown machine, and last week got into the end zone, and you're like, all right, like this is great. He's going to be on the verge of a good game. That was his only reception, was the one touchdown, which, you know what, for the tight end position this season, I'll take that. Like, I'm shooting for double-digit points because anybody not named Travis Kelce, you kind of just hope that he can get you double-digit points, but I think Rob Gronkowski could do it. Now for the rookie, Cole Kmet. And Marcus, I'm going to use this time to give you the hottest take that I can possibly give you, is next year, Cole Kmet, right there in that number 85, is going to be the George Kittle of next season. He's going to have that kind of George Kittle breakout because they love him. Bill Lazor has loved him. And since he took over the play calling, they have made a concerted effort to get him the football. Now, last week, what happened was Cole Kmet was a monster. He was on Kyle Brandt's Angry Runs. You should go back and check that out. He was amazing. There it is. There's one of them right there. Such an angry runner. Obviously, Jimmy Graham got the touchdown. That was unfortunate because the Lions, like the rest of us, are like, Jimmy Graham's whatever. We'll cover Cole Kmet. Oh, wait. I like the matchup this week. I love Cole Kmet. I love Cole Kmet going forward. It's really tough for tight ends, especially in their rookie year, to come in and make a huge impact. Next season, where I'm going to try to get you all to draft Travis Kelce super early. If we don't, one of the guys that we're going to target is Cole Kmet. And I still believe that the Bears coaching staff is going to be the same. I know a lot of the Bears fans don't feel that way, but look, we're going to finish 9-7. You're not going to fire a coach, even if the Bears finish 8-8, 7-9, unless they lose to the Jags, which they're not going to. This coaching staff is coming back, but as long as Bill Lazor likes Cole Kmet, we'll be fine moving forward.
I like Cole Kmet too. And I know we've always kind of held on to the rookie tight ends don't do much, and that's true. But I do think we're starting to see more and more guys at that position, you know, start to pop a little bit earlier. I mean, you know, you get your Fants and your Hawkinsons and your Kittles to some extent. So I think, you know, there are those standout guys that can make an impression in their first year. And I think Cole Kmet is certainly one of them. A couple defenses that folks should hone in on this week.
Well, I'm going to go with the Dolphins defense, who was really good last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think a lot of us dropped them. I'm sure you did because you saw the Chiefs. You're like, I don't want to do it. They ended up scoring double-digit points. They were creating turnovers and doing a lot of good things. I mean, this Brian Flores defense is really good. And if you don't have one of the top ones, I've got to assume that the Dolphins are still available to you. Go pick them up right now and start them, unless you have, you know, one of the top defenses. Even, you know what, if you have the Saints defense, you might want to consider not playing them as well. But here's my thing. I will go pick up the Dolphins. I will play them this week. I think that the whole notion of the Patriots not playing well in South Beach was not necessarily just a Tom Brady thing. I think it translates to the whole thing. Speaking of Tom Brady, let's talk about his defense, which I like this week going up against the Atlanta Falcons. I hope that they can get to the quarterback, cause some turnovers there. We saw last week the Chargers, if they had a better defense, you know, probably could have done some damage. Matt Ryan is still throwing game crippling interceptions and things of that nature. So I like the Buccaneers this week. I think that, you know, they get overlooked a lot, but they've been playing pretty well. I thought they did a really nice job last week against the Vikings. I know it's Kirk Cousins on the road, but I think that was a pretty good indication of what they're going to be able to do this week against the Atlanta Falcons. Excuse me. Goodness. Sorry, Marcus. My notes. I'm looking over. My notes are all over the place because it's two different shows. I got to prepare for two different shows, and I differentiated a lot of this stuff for both shows. So I apologize.
It absolutely happens. I mean, just you look behind the curtain for everybody out there. I think for you and for me, on any given day, I am working on two different shows at the same time, pretty much. So I understand. I understand where you're coming from. All right, there you go. That was Secure Starts presented by Visa. Now, at the start of the year, we were using this segment to do sits. Then we decided that it's just hard to kind of, you know, accurately do sits without people getting all twisted up and saying, well, you said to sit, you know, Russell Wilson or whatever. So then we started having general conversations. But I've been told that for people who actually watch our stuff on YouTube, and we thank you for that, I'm told that the portion of actually doing sits does really well on the YouTubes because apparently you guys just love negativity. So we're back to doing sits, but we're going to do one of them per position. So who gets the thumbs down for you this week at the quarterback spot?
Yeah, that's, you know, that was a good note for all those aspiring YouTubers for a little SEO chat right there. Always use the words like bench, sit, worst. Like if you do anything worse, and I know I do this with like what culture videos, like worst WWE gimmicks, like I'm always watching that video. So I understand where they're coming from. So let's go through some of the sits. We'll start at the quarterback position and Jared Goff. Now, obviously, you look at this matchup against the New York Jets and you think, why would I sit this offense against the Jets? Obviously, last week it was a nice elixir for Russell Wilson, who went out there and threw four touchdown passes. But you have to understand that that was kind of the Seahawks needed a get right game. And I think Russell Wilson needed to build a little momentum. And it was great to see him go out there, throw a couple of touchdowns, throw one to DK Metcalf and everything like that. And I think that there's opportunities for guys like Cooper Kupp. I'm not afraid of Cooper Kupp this week. I'm not afraid of Bobby Trees. Even like one of the tight ends might be worth starting. But I do believe that every time they get near the goal line, Jared Goff is going to be handing off the football. That is the one thing that scares me. So I don't think that he's going to have the volume of touchdowns. I think he's going to have somewhere between 12 to 16 points. So I'm leaving Jared Goff on the bench.
I'm torn because I like the matchup a lot, but I do see your point there. But the matchup it's hard to deny there. Running
back. It's the best matchup.
It is absolutely the best
matchup. I know on Fantasy Live, I had to come after you and I was like, not come after you, but I mean in the show where you were talking about God, like everything you say about the matchup is perfect. I'm just trying to go another step and say being really nuanced, but it's a great matchup. And if you need to pick up a quarterback, I don't know.
I understand.
I'm just worried about it.
I get it. I get it. Which running back are you worried about?
Well, I just wanted to do the Chiefs running backs. Like, let's just do the Chiefs running backs. But I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is somebody that I would prefer not to start this week. Like, I know that I have to start him in one league. I'm in a league with these OC comics, and my running backs are Miles Sanders and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Last week, I thought I was going to be eliminated for sure, and then I had the highest point total because those two guys actually came through. And I think Miles Sanders, I feel safe going with moving forward. Clyde, a little less so. They're going up against the Saints this week, who have allowed, until last week, the fewest fantasy points to running backs. They had that streak of 50 consecutive games without a 100-yard rusher. I believe they start a new streak this week. It's an interesting matchup. So I'm curious to see how the Saints defense responds because this is not only a bad matchup for Clyde. The Saints have allowed the fewest fantasy points to tight ends this season too. And by no means would I sit Travis Kelce because we saw last week, like the Seahawks broke that streak. But it's really interesting to me. So I think that this is going to be a lot of Tyreek Hill. I think this will be a lot of Travis Kelce. I don't care what the numbers say about that. And I think that we'll see some more of the guys like the Mecole Hardman type players, Sammy, guys like that. Maybe not so much from the running attack. So I would lead Clyde. If you can, I know that a lot of us can't. I know that I'm forced to start Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So if you sit him and he goes off and you come after me, I'm telling you there's going to be certain instances where you have to play him. I'm just saying if you have better options that we're sitting, Clyde.
I feel like we need to start this segment with like a user discretion is advised sort of thing. Like, hey, look, man, like this is up to you. You make your own decision. I was surprised to see the wide receiver you are suggesting to sit this week. And I know it's like, you know, the asterisk, like you may not be able to sort of thing, but still a surprise.
I have to start him in my second city tiny football league. Terry McLaurin. To me, though, this is more indicative of the quarterback and what they're going to do if Alex Smith is not able to go. Now, as we're putting the show together today, the FT is hopeful that Alex Smith could be the quarterback. But over the last couple of weeks, they've really – opposing defenses have really done a nice job of shutting down wide receivers. And this is a better matchup, I understand. And so, you know, the Seahawks have been historically bad against wide receivers this season. They've played better over the last couple of weeks, especially once Jamal Adams came back into the mix. So this is one, again, that I'm a little cautious of. I understand if you have to start him. I have to start him. And this, I'm not trying to jinx it or anything, but I just have to be objective. And if Dwayne Haskins is the starting quarterback, I'm going to feel awful about this. And I would look other places. I would still start him over like Tyler Boyd. I would still start him over that. I wouldn't bench him for DJ Chark or anything like that. But if you have good options, like I have a team that has I made a trade for DK Metcalf. I have DeAndre Hopkins. I can sit Terry McLaurin. I'm going to go with I'm going to start like Josh Jacobs over him. But, you know, in other instances, I understand that you're probably going to have to play him.
I hold on to the fact that at least last year with Haskins, McLaurin was still fairly productive. So maybe I can sort of hang my hat on that. But it's not an optimal situation, without a doubt.
Hey, can I tell you this? I was looking for this note. The Seahawks have allowed the fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers since week 11. I knew I had it somewhere. Sorry, folks, to hide that from you. Knew there was one. I'm like, but I didn't. You know what, though? I don't want to get anything wrong. Like, I want to be. Because you can always read it's in the column, so you can read it there. Right. So, but I knew I had this.
Better late than never. Tight end to sit.
What show is this?
List. I know it's a lengthy list of tight ends to sit. I'm just curious which ones you're picking on specifically.
Not Travis Kelce is the only one I will give you. You know what, though? Dalton Schultz, because he let me down last week. He had that smash matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals, who had allowed, you know, the most fantasy points to tight ends this season. Although I think a lot of it goes back to Harrison Bryant, but I don't like his matchup this week against the San Francisco 49ers. They have been one of the toughest against opposing tight ends this season. So we're really, you know, I know that a lot of us are, this is why I always advocate for everybody to go out there and get Travis Kelce where you can. I know, but maybe you picked George Kittle this year too. And so you've had to have a different cast of characters at the tight end position every time this season. But you know what? Dalton Schultz really just hasn't been getting it done. And we've found that even in good matchups, it hasn't happened. This Cowboys offense is really just, I don't know. It's so disappointing the way that the injuries to the offensive line have happened. Obviously, no Dak Prescott. There's one guy from this offense I sort of like. CeeDee Lamb, I think, has an opportunity. I think the wideouts will have a little bit more success than the tight end. So I'm going to leave Dalton Schultz on the bench. I would hit the waiver wire. I would go look at Irv Smith Jr. So if you started Dalton Schultz last week thinking that, this is a great matchup, I think Irv Smith Jr. is the guy that you want to get into your lineup this week.
Irv Smith has been such an interesting study this year because, like, you know, their expectations, he's had a couple of good games, then we've seen Kyle Rudolph. It's been hard to figure. Maybe next year they just clear the deck and they just let Irv Smith do his thing in Minnesota. That would be kind of nice. Defense to sit this week. This one, you know, at least makes logical sense. I understand why you picked the one that you did.
Yeah, I alluded to this earlier, and I would sit the Saints against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know a lot of you will look at – I mean, don't drop the Saints, please, because we know how your playoff roster looks. So hold on to the Saints. I know a lot of you will be like, well, the Dolphins did well against them last week. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. But my point is I would rather go pick up the Dolphins this week and play them because I think that matchup's a little bit better for them. I think the Dolphins will be creating turnovers against the Patriots, as we talked about previously. And so I'm going to leave the Saints. Like this is the time of year where there's only three other teams who are allowed to goof around on the waiver wire. Nobody's picking up the Dolphins. Probably everybody's probably got a lock solid defense. I just think that this is the time of year that you want to be. You don't want to risk it because there's a good opportunity the Saints end up having zero fantasy points. I don't think that they're as bad as they were last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. They're on the road. They're playing a quarterback that you had absolutely no tape on. But you could have all the tape in the world on Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that it's going to matter. And I don't think that you're going to shut him down and cause him to make mistakes like he did the last couple of weeks. And I also, and I wrote this, I might have wrote this 2 weeks ago, but the Chiefs seem bored at times. So they're just kind of like, whatever. Like when your friend's little brother wants to play hoops with you. This is back in the day when you were, you know, younger, and you're like, okay, and you're kind of taking it easy. And then if somebody else, you know, from the neighborhood walks in who's really good, then you step up your game. I think this is an opportunity for the Chiefs. Number one, they're going for the top seed now. So they've caught the Steelers, the Saints. This is an opportunity to make a statement. I think we see the best version of the Chiefs this week. Maybe not you, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but this is going to be the best version of the Chiefs. I don't want any part of the Saints defense.
Yeah, so. I think that's probably wise. But again, don't, like Rank said, don't drop them. Just put them on the bench and figure out a workaround for the week. All right. If you want to see the rest of Adam Rank's starts and sits, you can check it out at NFL.com/start-sit. That's easy enough. By the way, I noticed you keep moving your fantasy trophy around behind you. Is there a reason?
Yeah, dude.
Is there a reason?
I always want to get it in the shot. I need it to be – because this is pretty cool. Like they decided – they're like they wanted to send these to us. And I sight unseen, I'm like, I don't want it. And then I actually saw it because you and Kimmy Checks had it. And I'm like, that's a legit trophy.
It's a legit trophy.
So this is what I'm asking anybody to do. This is what I'm asking. This is heavy. Like, this is how I do curls. It's like, this weighs more than a newborn. So here's my thing for anybody. Like, this is legit. If you're watching and you're like, oh, I don't know. Look at everybody in your league chips in what, $10 or something like that. Just cake it into your fees. Everybody buy this trophy because this will be fun. This is the kind of thing that you show up at your draft next year. You get to hold this while you're making your picks. Hopefully, you know, we'll all be able to do it together. If not, even if you're on Zoom next year, whatever you're doing, you'll have this trophy on display. And it's something tangible that you can look at and remind yourself every day that you are better at your friends than at picking what random running back is going to score 20 points on any given Sunday. Like, I picked Lynn Bowden, and I won.
And you can
get it. That'll be the testament to
it. You can get it at NFL.com/fantasy trophy. It is the official fantasy trophy of the National Football League. See, we even have an official fantasy football trophy. That's how deep we go.
Official trophy. It's so sick.
That's how deep we go at the NFL. We got a TNF game coming your way on Thursday. Fittingly enough, it is the Chargers and the Raiders, a longtime AFC West rivalry, now moved to Las Vegas. That seems to also fit for some weird reason, too. I don't know why, but it just does. So I had a couple of questions about it. The first one, Justin Herbert, who was great when he took over for Tyrod Taylor, has hit a bit of a slump lately. What's happened to him? And is this the week that he finally gets right?
Well, I think that the game against the Patriots was so bad that they went ultra conservative with him in the contest against the Atlanta Falcons. He attempted 44 passes. He just wasn't throwing the ball down the field. A lot of it might have been the lack of Mike Williams, so that's something to keep an eye on moving forward into this game. If they give him – what we saw at the end of the game, though, when he needed to just – when they just let him go and just said, hey, go out there and throw the football around the field, get us into position to get the winning field goal – then Justin Herbert was amazing. If they go back to that Justin Herbert, and we've seen, you know, some problems with this Raiders defense, enough so that they have elevated Rod Marinelli to defensive coordinator, I think that Justin Herbert can go out there and have a good game. I don't have any hesitation getting him into the lineup.
I wouldn't hesitate starting him at all. I just think everybody kind of wants him to go back to being that guy who got you 20 to 25 points a game instead of the guy who's getting you, you know, 15 to 18 points a game. And I think this is a week where it starts to happen again. The Raiders, you know, they got so close. They almost swept the Chiefs. They were, what, one possession away from pulling that off. They ended up losing, and everything has sort of fallen apart since then. That ugly loss to the Falcons, they have not played really well. So I do think this is a chance for Justin Herbert to kind of get back on the right side of things. And so a guy who has probably been carrying a lot of fantasy teams into the playoffs, hopefully gets it together one last time, or, you know, one more time, I should say, to get you into your championship game. The other question, and this isn't specifically about this game, but just overall, can we move Darren Waller? Has he done enough to move into the realm of elite fantasy tight ends yet?
Well, at the risk of alienating our Raider friends, especially the ones at the stage door in Las Vegas, because if the Raiders, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, you knew that the Raiders already dominated Las Vegas. So it does make sense for them to be there. And I love them. I like Darren Waller a lot. And he's the tight end too on the season. But have you noticed, like, week to week, there are some valleys there where it's like he has some bad games. But what we saw last week you know, which was one of his scheduled bad games, so to speak, he still had 14 fantasy points. So I do believe that he's very good. He is the intercontinental champion of tight ends right now. Like the main, like Travis Kelce is the main eventer. He's the heavyweight champion. When George Kittle is healthy, those guys are at the top of the card. They're the elite guys. Okay. They're the elite of the elite. They're the Moxley and they're the Kenny Omega. And then Travis Kelce is just a run, or excuse me, Darren Waller is just a rung below. He's there. He's close. Like it wouldn't be weird to make him, like, if he main evented a non WrestleMania pay-per-view, you'd be like, okay, like that's fine. He could main event Backlash or something like that, but it's not like he's not the WrestleMania main eventer yet. He's there. He's number three. He's very good. But I don't think that I don't think he's all elite. And I know I'm weaving my wrestling promotions together. I should mention Impact as well, because I don't want to leave Impact Wrestling out. By the way, can I tell you one thing about Impact Wrestling?
Sure.
We have a league where it's NFL versus Impact Wrestling. You know who the number one seed in the playoffs is starting this weekend? You want to know? It's James Jones. James Jones. James Jones is really good. And I know he did a fantasy Reddit last week. He knows what he's talking about. Like he's like a lot of former players, we get in and like we humble them. They're like, oh, now you're in our world, guys. What up? You know, we kind of strut around. James Jones, it's annoying because he's a Packer, and it's annoying because he's really good at fantasy. So I hope that I can beat him.
Good luck to you. James Jones actually remembered that I said a not negative thing. I just pointed out that the regression was going to
be. You said he was garbage, Marcus.
I did not say he was garbage. I just said he wasn't going to score 14 touchdowns like he did the previous year. And I was right. So there.
Congratulations, then.
But James Jones is legitimately good people. He's a great guy to work with. And apparently he's good at fantasy. So, you know, he just gets everything his way. So I've been telling you for weeks to watch Fantasy Bites. So hopefully by now you're watching Fantasy Bites. But if for whatever reason you're still not watching Fantasy Bites, you should watch Fantasy Bites. Fantasy Bites airs on Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern. You can find it at NFL.com, the NFL apps, and YouTube. Any rundown of what you guys have this week on the show, Rank?
Yeah, I know that we're both going to be talking about a couple of receivers. I really like Allen Robinson this week. Kimmy's going to be talking about Brandon Ayuk, so that'll be fun. We're going to have Michael F. Florio. He's very informative. We're going to talk to him. We'll have our Club Dub Players of the Week. Club Dub! We'll do that. So it's a lot of fun. And it's going to be the season finale. Hopefully not the series finale. But if you know my history. But please check it out. Listen, this is my friends in my second city, the Tiny Football League. They love Fantasy Bites. Young Rock, the hip-hop artist, loves Fantasy Bites. So I can't give you a bigger endorsement than that.
That's awesome. That's actually very, very cool. So, yeah, check it out. Like I said, we've been doing this for weeks. So check out the season finale. And, you know, you can, binge watch it later, I guess, after the season if you're into that sort of thing, too. All right, let's do some quick wiretaps before we get out of here. The guys that you might have snagged off the waiver wire and whether or not you should start them this week. So let's start with Kendrick Bourne taking on the Cowboys. Debo Samuel is out for the season after a hamstring injury. So you know Brandon Ayuk's going to get some love. In fact, you had him as one of your starts. But if you're looking a little further down the roster, down the depth chart, is Kendrick Bourne maybe worth putting in against the Cowboys?
Yeah, I really like this matchup. Now, going back to the sits from earlier, I'm not starting Kendrick Bourne over Terry McLaurin. But if you do have a need at the wide receiver position, and I know that there's been some big names who've been out. I know Julio might not play. There are some other guys, too, I think, that are – or Debo is obviously the one. But I like it. I like the matchup. The Cowboys have allowed the second most yards per game to wide receivers this season. So you obviously can't pick up Brandon Ayuk on the waiver wire. I think Kendrick Bourne is a really good alternative.
I do like Kendrick Bourne this week, and he's had some decent games when they have stepped up, when they've asked him to step up and play well. So, look, the Niners are going to need some other guys to throw the football to. It can't just be Brandon Ayuk all day. So I would give Kendrick Bourne a shot in some deeper leagues. Chad Hansen, I know, is a guy that you have had your eye on the last couple of weeks, and he's actually gotten quite a few targets recently. The Colts matchup, not necessarily a great one, but would you consider giving him a shot?
I would. I think the last couple of weeks he's had at least 12 fantasy points. He's getting about 7 targets per game. So I like that. And I again, they're going to have to throw the football. This is going to be a game where they're going to be game scripted into throwing it. There's not a lot of great options. We're still waiting to see if David Johnson will be back, and, you know, because he's a great receiver out of the backfield. Again, they've had so many injuries that Chad Hansen kind of stands out. The one player that I really like too, I'll give you guys a bonus one as well. We don't talk enough about Tim Patrick, who I know it sounds like a guy that we went to high school with who sells insurance now, but he's really good. Like, he's had double digit fantasy points in at least four games, maybe five. I'm sorry, I don't have the numbers in front of me. He's been really consistent and he never gets enough love. And so I think that that's another guy that you could look at as well. But I do, of the three that we just talked about, I think Kendrick Bourne's my favorite.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad you mentioned Tim Patrick. I thought about putting him on this list, but I felt like maybe too many people knew about him. So maybe not. So I appreciate you.
I don't think enough people do. No, it's weird.
Yeah. So no, I'm glad you threw him in there because I do think he deserves some more love than what he's gotten so far this year. Last one real quick. The Cowboys, who had a great game defensively last week against the Bengals. Now they get the 49ers. Nick Mullins has been a turnover machine. Any thoughts to streaming that Dallas defense?
No, don't pick them up. And don't stream them. You want to know why? Because last week they had 18 fantasy points against the Bengals, which was a great matchup. The Cowboys were started in less than 5% of NFL.com leagues. So I don't need all you men and women showing up now being like, oh, we're going to go with the Cowboys. No, you leave the Cowboys for the people that had the wherewithal and the ingenuity last week to start them. Don't go in and jinx this Cowboys team, because once everybody jumps on board, then it's over. Then the party's over. They give up 40 points to the 49ers, and everybody's mad at me because they're like, why did you tell me to pick up the Cowboys? I don't want to deal with it. So if you played them last week, you continue to play them. And if you didn't, you lost out. It's sold out. There's no more tickets. You're not going to be able to go. By the way, have you been to a show at the Forum?
Not recently, but yes.
I mean, obviously not recently. I was watching Dave Grohl's Foo Fighter concert on his birthday when he was bringing out like Paul Stanley, Tenacious D, David Lee Roth. I didn't recognize the facility because it was a circle stage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where is this? And it was the Forum. I'm like, that doesn't look like the Forum. Even when I was going there for concerts. Like, this doesn't look like the Forum. But anyways, that's a quick aside. But I was thinking of like the concert tickets are sold out. Didn't get pit tickets, you're not getting it. That's what it was like. There was an analogy there somewhere.
If I could change one thing about the Forum, it would be the random wall that's on the concourse that doesn't let you walk
all
the way
around
the building. I mean, I know this is like a super weird tangent. And for anybody who's never been to the Forum in Los Angeles, it is a circular building with an indoor concourse. Yet for whatever reason, you can't walk all the way around. At some point, there's a big wall that forces you to go outside, around the wall, and then back inside the building to continue your path. I don't get it. And if I could change anything in Los Angeles, that might not be the first thing on the list, but I would get to that eventually.
Top five.
I would tear down that
top
wall.
Top five. Can I give you a little... When I was a kid and we would go to Kings games, this, you know, you were able to sneak down to the lower section because of that, because they would let you through. Like, oh, man, I don't want to go outside. Can I just go through? Like, come on, man. Like, okay, fine. And then you would go. And then when the guy wasn't looking, you would jet down to the ice.
Yeah, that's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, a little fun tip.
That feels like a good note to end the show on. That is it. We are done. Thanks to Ian Harditz for stopping by, and thank you for hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show presented by DraftKings. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, one day, realtors were asked, can you see yourself being quarantined here? Be safe, take care of yourselves, wear a mask, and we will see you on Friday.